superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's difficult for you guys not to jump when he hard counts, even though you probably know it's coming.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He could tell you in the huddle it's on three, and you get to the line, and his voice just sells it so much, you'd be convinced it's on one.
Earlier on the show, Vikings running back Dalvin Cook. Coming up, three-time Pro Bowl quarterback Carson Palmer. Co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Plus, from the new film Honest Thief, actor Jai Courtney. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. We are on the air here in Los Angeles, California. Dalvin Cook, great chat with him in hour number one. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football will be on the horn in about 20 minutes time. The actor Jai Courtney from the new film Honest Thief, and he's best known for his work in Suicide Squad as Captain Boomerang. He will be joining us in hour number three. Chris Brockman's got a news update. I just got a lot off my chest about the Yankees. If you missed any of it, you could see it on Peacock right here when we're done. You can watch us back anytime you want. That's the beauty of on-demand streaming live as well on NBC Sports on Peacock right now. Sirius XM Radio, Rich Eisen Show, Terrestrial. Say hello to the mightier 1090 in Southern California in specific. And we say hello to somebody who knows a lot about Southern California. And it was great to see, you know, when I host NFL The Grind on Epix. When I'm done here on Tuesday, I go to NFL Network and I shoot that show, work with NFL Films, which is amazing, Epix, which is amazing. And then it's on tonight at 9 Eastern time on Epix. And it's an amazing look at the week through the lens of a couple of correspondents, as well as an essay looking forward to next week, an essay that looked back to the week that just hit. And then the correspondents usually go to stadiums. But in COVID-19 world, we have to be a little bit more inventive. And who's more inventive than Chad Ochocinco? Or Chad Johnson, a.k.a. formerly known as just Ochocinco, correct? Now he's just known as Chad Johnson again. It's tough to keep up with him.
I think so. It's tough to keep up.
All right. So Chad went to Idaho. Why would Chad go to Idaho? There are NFL games in Idaho?
Nope.
Well, there's NFL game watching in Idaho. And the person who he went and visited in Idaho is none other than his former quarterback, Carson Palmer. And they watched the Bengals versus Jacksonville and watched Joe Burrow win his first game in the same uniform number that Carson wore, hooking up with T. Higgins, who's wearing the same number uniform as Chad Johnson right now. So there's a new 9-85, and the old 9-85 watched him together.
Me? I honestly would expect your response to be, how dare anybody wear 85 after
no,
me?
No, man, who? That's rude.
That's not rude.
It is.
It's just,
I mean, I didn't do,
it's personal.
We didn't win a championship or...
I know, but you still set all kinds of records.
Yeah, but when people see the number 85, I think regardless of what team it is, the 85, it just resonates with Chad, whether I play there or not.
Yeah, true.
He's bigger than me.
Is he?
Yeah.
How great is that? They're just sitting there watching television. And so I said, let's get Carson Palmer on the program. Not just because I love him and he's great to have here and I've known him for a long time, but there's no chance I'd be able to reach Chad in time to get him on the show. Which is my only way of introducing Carson Palmer back here to the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Carson?
Rich, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
How was it having Chad over?
It was awesome. You know, Chad and I hadn't seen each other in, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years.
Is that right?
And he actually, you know, he rolled up in a motorhome. He got out with some cowboy boots on. And he actually, I told him, he actually looks like he's gotten younger since I've seen him in 10 or 15 years. So it was really good to reconnect and sit down and watch the Bengals play.
No kidding. So that's how long it has been since you last actually were in the same room as Chad Ochocinco Johnson. That's how long it's been.
Yeah. Yeah, we were together in Cincinnati. He got traded to New England.
Right.
I didn't play against him when he was in New England or Miami, and then he was out of the league and doing some stuff for different networks and doing, you know, all kinds of social media stuff. And I then went on to Arizona, and we just didn't have a chance to connect. We had talked when we were in whatever towns the Super Bowl was in, and just couldn't connect, and finally got a chance to connect in my backyard when he came rolling up in a motorhome in Idaho looking for some bison. So it was good to see him and reconnect, and like I said, watch the Bengals play.
All right,
and
let's go hit the way back machine a little bit before we get to the present day then. When was the first time you met Chad? What was the first conversation you ever had with Ochocinco? Do you remember that, Carson Palmer?
I was drafted by the Bengals, flew from the draft in New York City to Cincinnati, and he showed up. I rolled in the locker room with a suit on and, you know, cameras around and media, and he was in his locker waiting for me, came up to me, gave me a big hug, and then went right into the press conference with me and sat in the back of the room and, you know, welcomed me with open arms back in 2003.
Wow. That's how long. And then what was he like in the huddle? You got a good story playing with him? Whenever he was doing burying signs in the snow and putting with pylons and things like that after scoring touchdowns?
In the huddle, he was annoying. He was always telling me how open he was. Come to me this play and come to me this play. And I'd go back and watch the film, and he was double and triple covered. But, I mean, that was his M.O. He was never covered. Nobody could cover him. And once you get to know a guy like Chad and that kind of personality, you know, you take each time he says, I'm wide open, with a grain of salt, and make sure that, you know, when you do go to him with the ball, that it is a one-on-one situation or he is open. But, I mean, that was just, you know, the love of the game, love of life Chad had. He was so much fun to play with. And, you know, he was a great guy to have in the locker room. He always brought some levity to the practice field when you were tired or, you know, you'd lost the week before. He always made it fun.
Well, and the neat thing too, Carson, is I know you, you know, personally, away from this phone call and this microphone, and know that you are in your home, you're a dad first. So, but your kids do know what, you know, who you are and what you did, but it's not you. How did you explain to them who's coming over to the house, Carson? How about that?
Yeah, that is. Chad and I's professional relationship was before any of my kids were really born. And
right.
So I've got a little 4-year-old named Carter running around the house. I don't even think he knows really what football is, or definitely doesn't know that I played football.
Right.
But Chad came in the house. He was, you know, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He shows up and he's smoking a cigar at the house. And my 4-year-old kind of just staring at him going, who is this guy? What is that thing in his mouth? And why is he in a house with it? I'm like, Chad, man, get out of the house with a cigar. You can't do that. I got kids around. He went outside. And my 4-year-old's just a chatterbox, so he just followed Chad around and was asking him about his tattoos. And Chad was showing him, you know, Chad's got a whole leg of orca tattoos, an entire leg, you know, kneecap down. And my son Carter was kind of just thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
But he's got Shamu on his leg. So it was a lot of fun for all of us. And, you know, Chad's a big kid, so he treats all the kids, you know, great, and it was just fun to be around him.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie. It sounds like Here Comes Chad, like Uncle Buck walking in, you know? I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like. Uncle Chad walking in. It sounds like a John Hughes movie busted out, as opposed to NFL The Grind on Epix, which you can see tonight at 9 Eastern time. Carson Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Also, you'll see a chat that you and Chad had with T. Higgins and Joe Burrow after they won, and you just, you know, so let's get to the football aspect of this thing. I it's kind of ridiculous to say this when he's got a Heisman Trophy like you, and he's got 60 touchdowns last year from LSU, and he's first overall pick like you, but Joe Burrow's the real deal, huh? Carson?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. I mean, the expectations that are put on you when you're the number one pick are intense. You're going to a team that didn't win very many games the year before, and they were the worst team in the league. You probably don't have a ton of talent around you, and you're expected to carry your team. And he has absolutely exceeded all expectations, in my opinion. You want him to play well, and you expect some rookie throws and rookie mistakes here and there. And he's done such a good job with the ball. He hasn't forced many throws. He's thrown some really, really mature, veteran-type throws. And, you know, I think back to that last game against Jacksonville, going in to the end zone at the end of a two-minute drill in the first half. And, you know, you get in the 10-yard line, and there's a few seconds left on the clock, and you want to throw the ball in the end zone. You feel like you have to throw the ball in the end zone. And he takes the check down and gives the ball to a playmaker on the edge, and Joe Mixon makes a guy miss and gets in the end zone. And it's just a really, you know, a very mature decision, a very mature throw for him to put the ball on Joe Mixon in that situation. And he just consistently does that. He throws the ball. He's getting hit every time he drops back. He's getting hit completing balls with touch and feathering the ball in zones over linebackers' heads and underneath safeties. And just, you know, it really, I hate to put too much on a young guy, but he has exceeded all expectations and played better than I think really anybody in Cincinnati expected, and probably throughout the league. And not a lot of people are seeing him play. The nation got to see him play on Thursday night against Cleveland. And I mean, that was, you know, that was as good of a week three rookie quarterback game as I can remember, and they lost. But I mean, he's carrying his team. He's putting them on his back and not forcing throws, not making rookie decisions. And it's been a really, really bright spot in Cincinnati. It's been great.
It has. I echo every sentiment, and you know, and I haven't, you know, I don't watch with the eye like you do, knowing what decisions can be made or what he is making and what mistakes could have been made. I mean, it really does seem, just from the naked eye, just as a fan sitting back, that he's got the weaponry and he's utilizing it, and he's getting better every week. You know, I don't know if they'll make the playoffs. I mean, but I don't think that that's necessary either. It seems like he's in a good spot, Carson, right?
I'd be shocked if they made the playoffs. I mean, you've got Baltimore and Pittsburgh in your division, and that's always kind of the hard part for the Bengals. But, I mean, I think the thing that jumps out at me most is how accurate he is getting hit right after he's thrown it. And just as he's releasing the ball, or seeing a defender coming at him scot-free, he's still throwing the ball accurately down the field and not throwing it into coverage. I mean, you see these young guys come in the league, and you know they're getting hit by bigger, faster, more physical, stronger guys. And it's easy to shy away from hits, or it's easy to miss a ball a little low or a little outside. But he's standing in the pocket. He's natural in the pocket. He's got his eyes downfield. He's moving just enough out of the way to be able to hold on that ball for a split second longer right before he gets hit, to let his guy get open or let his receiver be thrown open by the touch that he's throwing the ball with. So, I mean, like I said, you hate to put so much praise on a young guy, but I mean, he's just looked so mature and so natural. And I know it's a familiar system for him, but you think back too, the guy didn't have much training camp or any OTAs, couldn't get together with his receivers like Chad and I used to do all summer long in Los Angeles at Home Depot Center because of COVID. You know, he didn't have that right. Those extra reps away from the practice facility throwing with his guys. So, you know, everything he's done is, like I said, exceeded my expectations.
Carson Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. I guess I just walk through the front door as opposed to being, inferring. I mean, the story at the Super Bowl was quite a bit, Carson, about whether you thought Cincinnati would be the right spot for him, and that made a lot of news, as I'm sure you know. And it just seems to me that he's got A.J. Green, he's got Boyd, he's got Mixon, and he's got a coach that doesn't seem to be on any hot seat. And a successor of yours at USC, Sam Darnold, he would sign for that right now. He'd wish for something like that. It seems like he's in a horrible spot, but it does seem like Burrow's in the right spot. That, do you think that Cincinnati is doing right by him, Carson?
Well, he's also got T. Higgins and Jonah Williams right at left tackle. But, you know, that offensive lineman will continue, that offensive line will continue to get better. And like we said earlier, I don't know if Cincy makes the playoffs, but The future is bright with Joe. You know, you just hope that that organization continues to spend like they did this offseason. They spent a bunch of money in free agency. You hope that they continue to spend and build around him and, you know, aren't satisfied with, you know, 9-7 or 10-6. You hope that they want to win a championship as bad as Joe does and the rest of those guys on that team. So time will tell, you know. Obviously history doesn't bode well with the amount of losing that that organization's done, but with Joe and that young talent they have on the offense, and like you said, AJ, you know, what a great spot for T. Higgins to go, right behind AJ Green, who's been as dominant a receiver as Chad was in his heyday.
So what do you make of Darnold? What's happening with him and what you're seeing? I don't know if you caught any of the Thursday night game that was nationally up there. Well, what do you think about what's happening to the former USC Trojan Wu in New York?
I think he needs a lot of help and fast. You know, everybody saw the run he took off and, you know, the 40-yard touchdown he ran, the athleticism that he has. But when you don't have T. Higgins and A.J. Green and Joe Mixon in the backfield, I know Le'Veon Bell's been hurt. I don't know if I can name a receiver on the New York Jets roster, but since Sam's been with the Jets, he just hasn't had a go-to weapon outside. He hasn't had a dominant back in the backfield. Le'Veon Bell's been banged up. The offensive line is struggling. I mean, you watch Sam play, and there isn't a lot of hope that they're going to figure it out quick just because they don't have a true number one. They don't have the offensive lineman that the Jets, you know, of the DeBrickshaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold years in the past. They just don't have the support, and Sam does not have the support that you would hope he would have in year three or four, whatever this is for him. So, you know, I still think he has a ton of game. I think he can spin it with the best of them. I think he's a great athlete. His pocket presence is top five in the league, and you don't get to see it because he's under so much pressure. You can see a quarterback's pocket presence when one free guy comes, and he can avoid him and step up in the pocket and create a pocket to throw in. But when you're trying to step up in the pocket and there's three guys coming free, I don't care if you're Mike Vick or Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter who you are, you can't avoid those kinds of plays. You know, Sam just has, you know, he struggled because he doesn't have a lot of confidence, it looks like, in the guys around him, unfortunately.
And the last one for you, Carson. You know, we had had you on when Brady hooked up with the Bucs, and you said he and Arians are just going to be like peanut butter and jelly. What do you make of the first 4 weeks of this offense? You know, there's been a lot of injury, and O.J. Howard's out now, and Godwin probably won't be back for this early week contest to kick off week 5. But what are you seeing about the cohesiveness and this offense coming together that you know so well, Carson?
Well, I think the sky's the limit, and they couldn't be in a better situation at a better time. You know, Mike Evans has been banged up. You now lost OJ, and you're getting a chance to see that, you know, Gronkowski's getting the rust off. It's been he did sit out for an entire year.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't get a ton of targets early on in this season. But, you know, now he's got a chance to kind of get his feet wet, get that rust off. Mike Evans has been banged up. Godwin's been banged up. You want to see those injuries if you're a new unit in a new system early. You don't want to see those in late November and early December. So I just think it's timed up right for them to be banged up, for them to find other playmakers, find other guys they can count on as they do get into those cold months in November, December, and January. And, you know, 5 touchdowns at age 43.
It's amazing.
It's spectacular. And this is still, they're only in the first quarter of the season. This is only, you know, this is Tom's first quarter of being in a new system. And, you know, Byron Leftwich, the play caller's first four weeks with Tom and getting more and more comfortable with him and seeing what he likes, seeing what he dislikes. So I think the sky's the limit. I think the system's great. I know the system's great. And they're going through some trials and tribulations early on, which you kind of expect. You know, Brady was in one system and one organization for so long. You don't expect him just to pick up where he left off like he's 26 again. You know, you expect to see those struggles. We saw those struggles early in week against the Saints when they lost. And I just think that unit continues to get healthier, continues to get more comfortable with Tom in the huddle, and Tom, you know, at practice and on game day, how he is, how he likes certain routes and certain concepts and certain play calls at certain times. So, you know, I think that the sky's the limit, and they're going to start hitting on all cylinders here in the next couple weeks, and maybe, you know, get to the point where, you know, we're all talking about the Bucks and how unstoppable they are on offense and how much better their defense is going to be getting as the season wears on.
Last one for you, Carson. You mentioned rust. You mentioned being rusty. Just a quick, I guess, easy question. Who's more rusty, somebody who hasn't played in a year in Gronk or your barber? I saw you on Epics on the video, and it's going to be on tonight. Couldn't help but notice. Who's more rusty, somebody who hasn't played in football in a year or the person who cuts your hair? Carson.
The person that cuts my hair is me. This is the COVID cut.
What? What do you mean you cut?
I haven't been to a barber since right around Christmas time, right before Christmas.
Right.
Been doing it myself. You know, I looked online and I ordered a Flobee. You remember the Flobee from Wayne's World?
Yes.
It sucks and it cuts.
Yes, right.
So I ordered myself a Flobee, and I've been doing it myself, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
I don't know.
I'm married. My wife's okay with it. So, okay. You know, I'm going to keep riding until this COVID thing is gone and I can get back into the barber.
Okay, because we couldn't help but notice, again, you have that rustic look. It does match, one would think, you know, Big Sky Country, Idaho. You know, I know you're occasionally, you do have a Twitter account, although you're not really on it. One of the most used GIFs on Twitter is the moment of Robert Redford nodding his head from Jeremiah Johnson. It's very similar. Very similar, you know, Carson.
That's the look I was going for. Do you think I nailed it?
I think you stuck the landing. I don't think Robert Redford cut his own hair for that film, though. Not with a Flobee. I don't think so. But it's close.
It takes a special talent.
Now, you here on the show, we say we go higher register when we really don't believe what we're saying. You kind of went higher register saying you kind of like it. You said, I'm okay with it. Like, you literally went that way. So you really are okay with it.
You know, I don't like shaving, and I don't like spending an hour in a barber. I just don't like it. I don't know anybody. I know a lot of women like going to the salon and spending some time. I feel like I'm wasting my time. I feel like there's better things I could be doing. So COVID has been a great excuse for me.
Got it.
Just to let it go and make sure that I trim the bangs just enough so the hair is not in my eyes, itching my eyes, and all the rest of it, I just let it go. I put a hat on. I go outside. You know, I do my thing, you know, I'm just taking my time. I'm letting it go. It's not quite a mullet. I don't know what you would call it, but anytime anybody references yourself and Robert Redford, I'm cool with it.
It's a winner.
Robert Redford and Clint Eastwood, you can reference me and use us in the same sentence.
That's anytime. A win. That's a W. Do you want to ask him the poll question real quick, and then we'll send him on his day.
Sure. All right, Carson, we got a Bond question today. Who in the sports world would make the best Bond henchman? Conor McGregor, Boban, Zlatan, or Marshawn Lynch?
What do you think? The
henchman. The only two names I know on that list are Conor McGregor and Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
And those are two of my favorite people on the planet.
Okay.
Anything that Marshawn is on, I will watch. Anytime Conor McGregor is fighting or anything on his social media account, I eat up. So can I pick both of those? Those are literally two of my favorite people. Can I pick both of them?
Yes, Carson, in the same way that I can't choose what I like more, your hair or your beard. You know what I mean? I'm the same way.
I appreciate that, Rich.
You take care, Carson. Best to your family. I always appreciate catching up with you.
You too. Anytime. Take care.
You are the man. That's Carson Palmer.
The best.
How about this? You're telling your kid. So, okay, today Dad's going to have a friend over. His name is Chad.
Oh, fun. I like
play football.
And he strolls in the door at 9 a.m. with a cigar.
I mean,
lit in the house.
By the way, rolled up in an RV, he said.
I mean,
well, that's probably, that, in all honesty, is probably part of the protocol for the shoot.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
Like, that's part of the protocol.
But would it surprise you if Chad
the films
just owned
is getting
an RV?
Epics is going to get you an RV, and we're going to. That's how we're going to roll. That's how you can get ready. That's where you can go. That's where you can hang. I'm just spitballing here. That sounds like protocol to me. Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt on his pod. Always fun when he calls in. He is next.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Give us a call. We'll have some time to take your phone calls here on the program. The always enjoyable Kyle Brandt is on hold, and we'll keep him there for just another couple of seconds while we're waiting for the terrestrial radio audience to return. How does one cut their own hair? Again, I'm a follically challenged man.
With a Flobee?
Flobee. I used a Flobee once. It's actually pretty cool.
Of
course you have.
One of my roommates.
So no, you just look in a mirror and you just do it. And
yeah, you just kind of do it and just let it. And it does suck and cut. So that's exactly what Carson said. It sucks your hair up and cuts it.
From Wayne's World.
Which he got that, which I laughed.
Okay.
It works. I've been cutting my own hair since I was like 24, but I just buzzed.
By the way, that was your call pre-show that he looked like Robert Redford.
It was ridiculous.
The nodding gif.
The nodding.
When you agree with somebody, or it's like bring it on. When you agree with somebody, that's the nod, right?
Yeah.
But when you agree with somebody, it's the Jack Nicholson.
It's not from Anger Management.
It's from The Departed. Where he's nodding his head like crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I liked your glass raise to me when the TJ.
Well, yeah.
Whenever I cheers somebody, I use the famed DiCaprio gif.
Yeah. We're back here on our terrestrial radio network, Rich Eisen Show. A great chat with Carson Palmer just moments ago. And he does look like Jeremiah Johnson. He's got the whole hair going. He hasn't had his hair cut in a long time.
He said since Christmas.
It's been a while. It's coming up on a year. I wouldn't even know how that works. This man's been letting it go a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's in style.
Yeah, he's got flow, though.
He's got flow.
He's got
but
the flow.
Yeah, I know. I've been seeing
from his past, he's got lettuce.
Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, popular podcast on Spotify and The Ringer, back here on the program. How are you, Kyle?
Rich, I wish just everybody could hear all these conversations you guys are having, because I'm on hold listening,
yes.
And I want in bad. I'm like the guy in Midnight Express pressing against the glass. Let me in.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the suck cut. And, Rich, you say GIF. There's a GIF. There is a GIF geek thing as it pertains to those little animated things on social media, and it goes back to a very puzzling fork in the road,
right,
where everyone said GIF, G-I-F, GIF,
right.
And then as far as I understand, the inventor of medium, no, it's GIF,
right.
Like the peanut butter,
right.
And so everybody parted into GIF or GIF camps, and I understand today you're a GIF guy.
Well, Kyle, you know what? This is not my first such rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
When NFL Network was starting, it was wondering, we were calling Terrell Owens because it was
sure.
Terrell Davis, and then T.O. basically came out and said, I'm Terrell. And I would actually have to, on my NFL Total Access notes, write the word T-E-R-L to remind myself to say that. But nothing caused a greater conundrum for me than when Keenan McCardle said he was McCardell. And I'm like, first of all, where does that come from? And secondly, how dare he mess me up? That's a three-syllable situation. And there was many a moment where it was dicey. for me. So
we're ripping from the headlines too, Rich. Just through this season, two evenings in a row on Monday night.
Yes.
Steve Levy has had a pronunciation thing trending on Twitter, where at first it was the Raiders running back, who we all thought that his name was Jalen Richard.
Right.
But then it turns out it's Jalen Richard.
Richard.
And then the bigger one,
Elair,
was the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards Elair. Losing their minds. But I'm like, I bet Steve spent all week looking into this and maybe even talking to Clyde Edwards Elair, so maybe he's right.
Well, I was wondering the same thing, and people sent me on Twitter a video from LSU. Like, they said, go to the 3-minute mark and hear how he pronounces it, and he said Elair. It's just that, you know, Leaves is just so into everything. He just he's like the and that's why he's been at it for so long and so popular, is that he got he gets that hitch in his throat, you know, like that you have as a fan. And so on occasion, sometimes it would sound like pig vomit from Private Parts, where it was like, yeah, like Elair, like it was like
Edwards Elair.
It was basically like Paul Giamatti went to him before Monday Night Football and made him say it in the mirror over and over again. It was like Clyde Edwards
Elair.
SN. That's right. That's what we were on for many months.
I only wish Steve Levy this coming weekend could cover a game featuring Chris Fuamatuma'afala, because then we could go anywhere with that.
And I guess my last point on this is we're riffing. For Mooch, we had him once upon a time say hala pala vuti vitai or something like that, and spell it in a spelling bee. And on game day morning, it's still an instant classic. Hala puli va'ati. Vita. There you go. Well, you even have that as a drop.
Hala Pula Viati.
That was Chris Brockman's attempt. There you go.
Hala Pula Vati Vitae is in the Hall of Fame. And, Ritz, the only other guy I would want to shout out is from your one-time neck of the woods, Tishminga Biakapatuka.
Biakapatuka.
Oh, man.
You got to love him.
Me too. How are you, Kyle? You doing well?
I'm great. I'm great. This is why I love the show. I'm here to talk about haircuts and pronunciations, and we're 5 minutes in. This is my kind of hang.
My kind of hang, too. Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. I thought for a second, I feel like we hit this every week, but why not? I thought for a second that Nagy was going to pull the trigger back on Trubisky in the middle of that game because it was looking so, so I guess, pedestrian with Nick Foles. What gives? And all that.
Yeah, it was tough. Rich, we've done a lot of leashes into Trubisky, and it would have been fascinating if the leash on Nick Foles was even shorter. You know, one of those retractable leashes with the little thumb button and the poop bag attached to it? That appears Nagy had, and he rolled with him. That was one of the stranger Bear games I've seen in my adult life. It was so strange, in fact, that nationally, I don't think really anybody saw it. And even if you were watching Red Zone, they never went to the game because there were just never any plays. So this game was in the upside down, and no one watched it. And you would just see this, and you would just see the score up, and no one's scoring. What's going on with Foles? I noticed on the Rich Eisen Show Twitter account earlier, you were doing a bit in which you were asking for GIFs or GIFs, as it were, to describe your team.
That's right.
And
it's
I was thinking about that pertaining to the Bears. I think just that game, and now I'm looking at the Ted Knight, Judge Smales, just, we're waiting. Like, that's where I'm at, because we were supposed to have the whole reckoning with Nick Foles, and it taps into something in the neuroses of Bears fans, which is the whole thing with Foles, which is Nick Foles, if you want him to jump off of a skyscraper holding onto a Tarzan vine with a baby in his hands as the building explodes, he is the man, the miracle maker. But sometimes you just want someone to just make a ham sandwich. Like, and I don't know if he can do that every day. It was every fear confirmed for Bears fans that he's great in a crisis. Break Foles in case of emergency, but really pedestrian at regular times.
So what happens now? Brady's coming into the house off of a 5-touchdown performance at age 43. I mean, that's happening tomorrow night, Kyle.
I know. On the shortest week, and this, all these apologists are saying for Nagy and Foles, well, you know, he's not on the same page with his receivers and got to work to do. Well, too bad. Then you got a short week now. We stumbled into something this morning, Rich. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Please.
We raised the question about, with all Brady's accomplishments and all he's done, not only just football but in life, do you think he has something extra special for Nick Foles because Nick Foles represents such an such a bitter defeat for him. And I was asked the question, you know, I think Schrager and Burleson are like, no, Brady's got nothing to prove. Foles, whatever it is, not on the same level. I said, hold on a second. I always think of Tom Brady's life in a full 90-year span. And 20 years from now, when he's an incredible golf course and he's teeing off and he's got a great life and a great family and a great swing, there's a couple things in his life that are going to piss him off. One is Eli Manning. Eli Manning tortured him two nights. And one is that damn night against Nick Foles in Super Bowl 52, in which Brady didn't even just lose, kind of embarrassingly dropped a pass and then made a huge fumble with the game on the line. And it's the only Super Bowl where I can think of Brady in more ways than one dropping the ball. Those Giants games, they had his number. In that Eagles one, he had it, and he coughed it up. And I think there's something extra special with he and what Nick Foles represents in that game.
Well, I mean, I think you'll get the answer to your question if prior to this game we do hear from Tom Brady, and he just wants to talk about getting in rhythm with X, Y, and Z. That will tell you the answer, because nothing has been more underwhelming from a member of the media who says, or an opinionator who says, Tom Brady has nothing left to prove. You've got to be kidding me. Like, this guy will literally find anything to use to get him ready to prove something that nobody else thinks needs to be proved. I mean, he's the king of no country believes in him. You know, I mean, it's absolutely why he is who he is. It's absolutely why he throws for almost 400 yards and five touchdowns as a 43-year-old. I think he definitely has something in store for Nick Foles and this team.
I do too.
And I think he wants to stomp their guts out. That's what I think. I really believe it.
And now, especially, everything's rosy now for Brady. You know, that, lest you forget, Rich, I was on the phone with you 3 weeks ago on this very appearance,
yes,
saying, Rich, I'm terrified. I picked the Bucs to go to the Super Bowl. They look so bad against the Saints. And you said, calm down, brother. Calm down.
Oh, yeah.
It's 1 week.
That's it.
It's 1 week. And you were right. And I would only say this then. That Saints game for Brady well could have been that Colts game for Nick Foles. It was his first game out there. He looked flat. He looked awkward. He threw a bad interception exactly like Brady did. So I still think there's the potential for fireworks Thursday night. And I think there is going to be a second layer of things going on, especially with Nagy getting already called out on Chicago radio that he's an offensive fraud. I mean, it's starting fast. They're 3-1, and they're already coming for him.
Well, I tell you, and then we'll just move on to a couple more things left with Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. We just hung up from my Arians whisperer in Carson Palmer, and he said that the injuries to Godwin and now O.J. Howard and Evans being, if you will, banged up, like walking around, like running routes like he's Fred G. Sanford, you know, this is all going to play to the benefit of Brady in this offense when it is full strength later on, that the reps need to be gotten with guys that he might not be making plays with later on, but will be complementary players in the roles currently that they serve as crucial players, that this is only going to serve to make them stronger. And that Brady, and that's the interpretation of Arians saying they would have gotten their ass beat by 20 points last year as opposed to winning the game that they just played. I think that's the interpretation.
And I would just only urge everyone, don't get caught up in style points this season. Pay attention to the teams that are stacking wins. Aaron Rodgers is doing the same thing that Brady's doing with even less. He's got nobody out there. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0. They haven't looked great. But when November and December comes around, when they start to actually look good and play well, it's going to be those teams that stacked wins. That's all that matters. Who cares about style points? It's going to be the ugliest season ever, maybe. Just teams that stack wins, and Brady's getting them.
All right, let's talk about your pod. How'd you get Bill Simmons? Cool. How'd you land Bill, man?
It's incredible,
wait a minute.
Right? Yeah.
Wait a minute.
He accused me, Rich, yes, of using him for, like Conan used to use Al Roker when someone dropped out at the last second.
When Regis
like,
showed
up
for
five floors, please.
Yeah, when Regis
or Marv Albert used to do.
Yeah, right. Regis or Tony Randall had shown up for Letterman, pretty much. That, you know.
Yes.
Right.
So he came on and got into some really fascinating topics about Twitter and social media.
Yes.
He got into the topic of interviewing because he's done some pretty big people. And he interviewed Obama twice. And I just asked him, I said, so come on, were you nervous? He said, and he tells this whole story about
kind of put off because Obama would ice you, much like a coach would a kicker, and he'd put you in the oldest room in the White House with the creaky floors and the old paintings with the eyeballs moving and make you sit there for 20 minutes, and then sure enough, you hear the sounds of about 15 people walking down the hallway, and it's the Secret Service and Obama walking in, and he said, then the nerves get going. I got to thinking about anybody I've talked to who's made me nervous. Rich, can you remember the first time you were really nervous for an interview you were doing?
Oh, wow. Let me think about that. First of all, I know there's an I in Bill and two in Simmons, but I mean,
yes.
Does he really think Obama was trying to ice him, or maybe he was being president of the United States and couldn't be on time for the interview? What do you think?
It could be that he had an important cabinet meeting
could
rather
have been,
than that he was trying to ice the first guy for 20 minutes.
let me think here. I was telling the story just the other day. I forget to whom, but I'll tell it again here, and I might have told it before. But I was, 26 years old on SportsCenter, and all I wanted to do was go out into, the sports world and see what it was like outside of Bristol, Connecticut, as being a SportsCenter anchor and actually start covering things and be out there as opposed to sitting on the set for two in the morning. I kept on begging them to give me an assignment, so they finally gave me one for NBA Tonight, the number two night. On ESPN2, and I was going to go cover the, rampaging Seattle Sonics, who were in town to take on the Celtics. I went to the old Boston Garden, and I covered the game for ESPN2, actually sat next to a Boston Celtic scout who was named Al Lewis, the guy who played the grandpa on the Munsters, was literally an NBA scout. I sat next to Grandpa Al Lewis underneath one of the baskets. That happened. That's not what made me nervous. But what made me nervous was after me saying over and over and over again, I wanted to be out and about from the SportsCenter set. Yeah. And I want to be out in the field. And I want to be out and mingling with the athletes who I'm covering. I'm standing in that small little visitor's locker room in the old Boston Garden. And in comes the surly Gary Payton and the angry Detlef Schrempf. And George Karl, who's staring a hole through me, and I thought to myself, what did I say about any of these guys? I was going through my mental Rolodex of what I said from high on my SportsCenter seat mount, and I was literally a SportsCenter anchor with no figurative clothes on standing in that locker room, and it was a note to me to say, from now on, I will never say anything on the air that I would never say to a player or a coach's face again. That was the lesson I took.
Well, that's priceless.
But I was nervous. I was first time I was professionally flat out nervous about interviewing anybody. And but it changed the way I looked at stuff. And I'm sure interviewing Obama did for Bill in any way, shape, or form, interviewing people after that, I assume.
Yeah. It's incidentally, just to bring this full circle, I think Detlef Schrempf might have been in that club of gentlemen who cut their own hair.
They might have been upset because Sam Perkins used the Flobee and forgot to plug it back in. I don't know. It could have happened. I'm not.
It might have been.
I think it was the Last Dance year that did lead to this Seattle making the finals. I think that's what it was. That's probably what it was because I was a year one, year two of SportsCenter at the time. So last one for you, Kyle. You teased it on Twitter that you spoke to a lead actor of one of the greatest films of all time for your next episode of your pod.
Thank you for asking. This is fascinating.
Yes, Kyle.
Yesterday I recorded it, and here's the tease.
Okay.
Next week we can talk about it. My next episode is with the lead actor of arguably the greatest film ever made. And I put it out to Twitter, and the guesses came in. Our friend Andrew Siciliano guessed, was it Charlie Sheen from Major League? No. A lot of guesses for Dolph Lundgren from Rocky IV, maybe. A million Pacino, Ray Liotta, Tom Cruise. I will neither confirm nor deny any of them, but I will only say I am not going to do a pull the rug out and it's a joke and it's, the kid from Heavyweights or something. No, it is actually the lead actor from maybe the greatest movie ever made, and he was spectacular.
Okay. Sean Astin.
Kevin Costner.
Sean Astin from Toy Soldiers. Yes, that's who it is. That's the one I knew.
He's just trolling on me about Rudy. Costner. He knows how I feel about Rudy, so.
No, it's not. It's not Sean. Or Ned Beatty from Rudy, who I'd also take.
Yeah, okay. You're going Costner?
100%. It's Costner.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Costner being from Field of Dreams is the best movie?
What's the best movie of all time from Costner?
If a lot of people say Dances with Wolves is one of the best movies of all time.
Right,
it's fantastic.
No, I know, but Dances with Wolves.
Goodfellas.
Dances with Wolves prevented Goodfellas from winning its rightful spot.
I mean. Mm-hmm.
But Dances is great. I mean, Costner has been in, a million brilliant movies, and he's been brilliant
Pacino,
in all of them.
Though, Godfather Part Two. I think it's Pacino.
No, it's not.
Jimmy Kahn.
With you, Kahn, we don't know what you consider the greatest film of all time. It could be. Can you give us a genre?
Well, I would tell you this is not some strange tangential choice of mine. This is, I think, if you ask the American population, you would get a huge chunk that says this is their favorite.
Like
movie
American, ever. You're talking American Film Institute. Is that what you're saying? Like we're talking about
or just
film cinema?
USA, Rich, men, women, and children all over this country. This is a massively, massively popular and beloved movie, and the lead actor is on the next episode. Take that what you will. You guys are.
I would have to say the following, Kyle, and again, the fact that all of these, and it speaks to a testament to your pod and what you're building and branding, and you know how I feel about you and what you're doing with Bill and The Ringer and Spotify, that people are mentioning this and it's believable. I'll throw Tom Hanks out at you. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to throw Hanks in your direction.
Are we recording this? We could all your guys' guesses, we could play him back next week when I come on?
Yes. Yeah,
because I think one of you might be right.
Okay,
and Rich, it might be you.
So I've mentioned Hanks. You've mentioned.
I want Pacino. I'm changing.
So Hanks would be what? Forrest Gump? I mean, when you're talking about massively popular, I mean that men, women, and children.
I think that's his most popular movie. I think his most like iconic. I think that would be Gump. Yeah, I would consider that. Yeah.
It's not that Captain Phillips.
Fun.
By the way, that's the name of the documentary making of behind the scenes. That would be Gump. That's the name of the documentary. That would be Gump.
That's it.
Kyle, thanks for the call. Buddy. I love our Wednesday chats. Let's do it again next week, obviously. And we'll see you on Good Morning Football tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern on the network. Thanks for the call, bud.
You're the best, Rich. Thanks,
right back
best.
At you. At Kyle Brandt. I mean, we could go back. What's Costner's best movie? I would say Bull Durham and The Untouchables.
Yeah, Field of Dreams, Bull Durham.
See, Field of Dreams.
And then the same way, though, that you could make the case that the best Clooney movie is Michael Clayton.
Yeah.
The best Costner movie, you could make a great case, is No Way Out.
Oh, yeah.
No Way Out.
Yeah.
Is a great movie, and he is amazing in it. And there's a great
I would not argue that.
Twist at the end. Right? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Breaking news out of Houston as to why Bill O'Brien lost his gig. OMG for B-O-B. That's next.
Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name. Always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us and our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop really does matter. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Lamar Jackson is not on the practice field, according to Jeff Zerbiak. I hope I'm pronouncing the senior staff writer for The Athletic Baltimore. Not sure why at moment is the text, the tweet.
Okay.
So keep an eye on that, Christopher, for your news update top of the next hour.
Le'Veon Bell's going to return off IR soon.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Would you pick him up in fantasy?
No chance.
We're desperate. We're desperate.
No, we're fine. We don't need Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, we're desperate.
No,
dude,
we're not. We don't need Le'Veon Bell.
Look at the whirlpool of despair. There's a lot of despair.
We don't need Le'Veon Bell.
We're filled with despair.
Do not. You pick the Jets D. Don't pick up Le'Veon Bell.
The Jets D outpoint was one of the few aspects of our team that outpointed our opponent last week, by the way.
Just saying.
Our opponent had the Broncos D, and the Jets D outpointed the Broncos D.
Please don't pick up Le'Veon Bell.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show here on the Mightier 1090 and the rest of our terrestrial radio network. So then, let's get to this, and then we'll take some phone calls if we still have time. And if you're on hold, stay on hold. We got our third hour of the program still to come. So we came on the air yesterday, and we had John McClain from the Houston Chronicle first up, and we were kind of surprised about Bill O'Brien's firing, right? I mean, sure, they're 0-4, but they won the division 4 out of the last 6 years. Of all the coaches to be 0-4 that you'd think would be potentially out before they're expected, you would go with the Jets coach or Atlanta's coach. Yeah. Not to be maudlin and talking about people's jobs like that, but let's be honest. Those organizations have not won 4 out of the last 6 division titles. And they also don't give the general manager's position, even though what is it, or football operations EVP role, to the coach either. So why, after an 0-4 start, do you just say you're out? Well, there's more answers now. According to John Granato of ESPN 97.5 in Houston, Bill O'Brien had a heated exchange on the practice field the week of the Steelers game with this player who questioned his quote-unquote coaching ability. That player is J.J. Watt.
Oh,
let me read on. Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle said O'Brien had an argument, verbal altercations with other staff members during the final weeks as the coach to general manager before being fired. He also had an argument leading up to the Steelers game with the defensive coordinator of the team, Anthony Weaver, who is the coach of J.J. Watt. I read on. We're not done yet. My colleague, James Palmer from NFL Network. Great head of hair. I mean, you want to talk about head of hair. Literally.
Top notch.
Big time. He added multiple players from the Texans that he spoke with. He asked them if O'Brien had lost the locker room. According to James Palmer, multiple Texans players he spoke with answered all of them uniformly, unanimously, yes. He had lost the locker room. So if you're the owner of the Texans and you're already being like, okay, look, man, I've gave you the keys to the store and I watched you sign Laramie Tunsil, giving him only 3 years after you coughed up 2 ones and a two for him and a wide receiver. And I saw what we did last year and we made it to the second round of the playoffs. And I held up my tongue when you said we got to trade DeAndre Hopkins. But now I'm 0-4 and I'm hearing you're having a heated set to with J.J. Watt, the defensive coordinator, and I'm hearing you've lost the locker room now. One plus 99. One equals three. You're out.
Yeah, John McClain just tweeted, in fairness to Bill O'Brien, he got in shouting matches with players, coaches, and staffers on and off the field because that's his personality, always has been, always will be. People didn't like it, but they took it when they won, grated on them when they were losing.
Kind of makes sense.
Yep.
John McClain talk about a temper? You had a temper?
Yeah, I mean, we've all seen that famous clip of him and Tom Brady going at it on the sideline years ago.
I've heard about it, too. There's your answer.
When you're 0-4, that stuff doesn't fly.
And Romeo Crennel has showed up at his first press conference.
This is the best.
73-year-old Romeo Crennel.
73-year-old.
Showed up at his first press conference as the interim head coach of the Houston Texans with a baseball cap on backwards.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Never going to win now.
That's it.
I mean,
so what should we spin the wheel? He needs to act his age.
Yep. Act like you've been there before, professional. Right. What if you're meeting with season ticket holders and corporate sponsors? Yeah. Jeez. He's the oldest head coach in the National Football League right now. That's 73.
Here's another one I was thinking of the other day. Pete Carroll. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Are we counting the USC stuff?
And the reason why I was thinking about this is that, you know, obviously it's Pro Football Hall of Fame. You can't count the USC stuff, but you have to count the fact that he left that to go. And I understand the circumstances that he left behind, but he did come from college. He's been in football a long ass time. He had a team that almost won two in a row. If he wins another one.
Not a first ballot.
Well, and there's no such thing as, I guess there could be a first ballot as a coach that once you're five years removed and you're eligible for
Bill Belichick is going to be.
I think if Pete gets a second one, he's in.
Well, I think so, too. And the reason why I thought about it is, again, if Dabo Swinney decides, okay, I'll take a gajillion Cal McNair dollars and leave Clemson to coach Deshaun Watson and bring my college to pro, I've got. What, the glass egg and a Lombardi trophy? I don't know what the egg was or whatever the trophy was when Pete won it at USC, but.
Think about Dabo. He would be doing it not for money. He does have a $90 million deal.
No, I know, but he could be doing it for money if it's a $120 million deal. Maybe. I mean, if he gives. If you top Gruden's deal, he'll come off of Clemson or at least think about it, maybe. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We will take your calls in the third hour. The actor Jai Courtney is going to be joining us here on the program. And Chris Brockman's news update. The San Diego Padres have named a starter for Game 2. We'll have that and so much more in a moment.